You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff like this. They're saying
something is wrong with me.
To be so cynical.
Practice.
Welcome to Positive Cynicism. I am your host, Chad Smart. You can find me on Twitter at Chad Smart. And in the coming weeks, again, time irrelevant to podcasts, so probably already up if you've just discovered this show months down the road. But we are working on the Positive Cynicism website. So you can go to www.positivecynicism.com, and there will be a whole bunch of content, I hope. That is the game plan. I hope my dreams don't exceed my talent in putting together a decent website. We're working on it. We'll definitely let you know when it is available. Or you can just randomly keep checking positivecynicism.com, and eventually something will pop up. I guess I should put up maybe one of those old 1996 GIFs of a construction, I don't even know what they're called, not construction beam, but the, you know, the road closed signs that say under construction. That should probably go up there. I digress. This is Positive Cynicism, one of a handful of shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Don't forget to also check out Nerd United with Greg Mahochko, who also does the Five Heart podcast, and My 1-2-3 Cents with Kevin Hunsberger. Kevin has a show out weekly. Greg is usually weekly or bi-monthly, I believe is the correct term. But check those out, and then keep coming back for more Positive Cynicism, because we have great stuff here. We've got Question Everything the third week of every month, a little interview segment that tries to promote people doing good in their neighborhood or in the world. And then the last week of the month is Wonder Why, where Mike DeKalb, hockey transplant, and I sit down and break down a one-hit wonder and try to understand why they never had a second hit. And we're working on a third series here on Positive Cynicism, which was supposed to be all about the evolution of the summer blockbuster. That has kind of been put, I wouldn't say on hold, but it keeps getting bumped due to lack of research and other topics coming up. So I think now we're just going to say that the second week of every month will probably feature more film or fandom type content. We'll let you know more about that in the coming weeks. This is episode 49, episode 50, which would fall in line with that game plan, is going to be all about this year's Comic-Con down in San Diego. Apparently, there are some issues with Comic-Con. I am not fully aware of them myself yet. I have to look into it, but my co-host for that series, Eric Bennett, is a big-time Comic-Con fan. And this will be his 14th year in a row of going, so he will be here to shed some details on the ins and outs and what's going on with this year's Comic-Con. So make sure you come back for that next week. Now, let's get into this week's episode. And I'm not sure how to frame up this episode, so just kind of bear with me as I tell this story, and then hopefully I will have a point at the end of the show. If you are a longtime listener or short-term listener who's listened to more than two episodes, you'll know I end every episode with question everything, do something positive. It's kind of our little motto and philosophy here at Positive Cynicism, because the show, when it originally got started a year and a half ago, was to kind of spread positivity and try to encourage a positive impact into the world in which we live. And that is still the goal. haven't changed that. But it's sometimes not as easy as I would like it to be. Or more accurately, I guess, is it's harder for me to follow my own advice. So July 8th, I'm recording this on July 9th, Sunday night, July 8th, I was out on my nightly walk around my area, and I was on the phone talking with a friend when I came to an intersection, and I was waiting for the streetlight to change, and this kid, I say kid, he was probably early 20s, came up to me and apologized for interrupting my phone call and said, "May I use your phone? My phone is dead. I really need to call someone. I'm trying to get to an NA meeting." I said, "Okay." My first thought was, "No, I don't want to share my phone. I don't know you. I'm not going to hand over my phone to a complete stranger on the street." But then I got thinking more, and I'm like, you know, if he's trying to get to an NA meeting, he's obviously in some type of, not trouble, but, you know, he's making the steps to correct a bad decision that he's made. And I said, "Just a second." And I was finishing up my conversation. And he, as I was doing that, he sat down on the ground, took his backpack off and put it under his shoulders and was kind of leaning back and mentioned being very exhausted. So I thought, okay, if he's lying down, he's not going to take off running as soon as I give him this phone. So I gave him the phone, and he made three quick phone calls that all went to voicemail. The first one was to his mom, and he just said, "I'm sorry, I'm coming back to Iowa." Then he called a female, I'm guessing friend, and then called his dad and also told his dad that he was coming back. And then he just kept texting, which I thought was a little weird to be texting on someone else's phone. He eventually gave me the phone back, and he had asked me where, for an address. He was trying to get to this NA meeting, and he had his booklet with all the addresses in it. And the address he was looking for was probably a little more than a mile down the road. And he just asked me, you know, I'm exhausted, my feet are very sore. Could you call an Uber for me and give it that address? So I said, sure, you know, because my thinking is it's only a mile down the road. It's going to be a very low cost Uber. And it's the least I could do. I'm really not doing much. I also thought an Uber would be quicker than 10 minutes to show up. But I didn't mind waiting. And unfortunately, we didn't talk while we were waiting on the Uber. He asked me for my phone again, and he continued to text. And then as soon as the Uber showed up, he handed me the phone back and jumped in, and the car took off. And I figured that would be the last that I would see of him. Then this was all between about 10 and 10:15 at night. When I woke up Monday morning, there was a missed call from what I can only assume to be the female friend that he had called. And his mom had called and left a message saying, "I got a call from this number from my son last night. Do you have any information?" And I could hear like the worry in her voice. So I wrote down the number of the other number that he had called for the female friend. And I had gone back through his text messages because I was curious what he was texting. And I saw his last text was him saying that he was going to be at this homeless shelter. And so I looked the shelter up online. I got the information. I got the phone number, and I wrote that down. And then I called his mom back. And I just explained, you know, I just ran into this kid the night before. Don't have any information other than these are the phone calls he made. This is the text number, and she knew of the friend, and said that the friend was not, she had talked to the friend, but had not gotten a lot of information. And then I gave her the phone number for the homeless shelter, and she was very thankful. I said, you know, good luck. And that was it. And I went on with my morning. Then I got to work, and I go into work early, especially on days when I don't run. I go in a little bit earlier just to walk around our lot and try to do some, I guess, cardio. And the entire time I'm walking, I just kept thinking about this kid and his mom. And I didn't know, was there more that I could do? Should I have done something else? Should I, you know, when I, the brief conversation that I had with him, he mentioned, he's like, I just want someplace to sleep, someplace where I can get something to eat. And my reaction was, And then I went on with my life after he left. He asked me if I had any money to spare, and I did not have any cash on me. But I just got to thinking, like, was there more that I could do? And then the more I thought about it, the more I kind of had an idea that I thought was a little crazy, maybe. So I ended up calling a friend, myself, and asking her, I told her the story, and I said, am I crazy for wanting to go to the homeless shelter and try to find this guy and take him to the airport? If he's trying to get to Iowa, I can buy him a one-way ticket to Iowa if he's willing to go. And she's like, no. As soon as you started telling me the story, my first instinct was, we have to get him to the airport and get him home. So I said, okay, I agree. I'm going to see what I can do. And I hung up the phone with her, and then I called this kid's mom back, and phone went straight to voicemail. I just left a message saying, you know, who I was again, that we'd talked, and asked if she had heard anything or found anything out, and said I was concerned, and if there was anything I could do to let me know, and hope that I wasn't crossing any lines. And then I went and talked to my boss and said, something's come up. I need to take off. I'll be back at some point. And I left. I went to the homeless shelter. Well, the first one I went to, because apparently there are two, the first one wasn't the actual homeless shelter. And they said, no, you want the one that's like half a mile away. And I got over there, and first it was just very kind of soul crushing to see this line of people waiting to get basic toiletries and supplies. And then I stood in line, and I felt very out of place. But when I got to the front, I had a picture. The guy had taken a picture of himself on my phone to text to his friend. And I showed it to the person working. I said, you know, I met this guy last night. By any chance, is he here? And she's like, all right. He asked me who I was and if I was related. And I said, no. She's like, well, I can't, even if he is here, I can't give you any information because of confidentiality. And I said, oh, okay. That makes sense. I hadn't even thought about that. And she asked me what I was looking for. And I said, you know, I just met this guy. I'm just trying to help get him home. And then she told me that he was welcome to come back. If I saw him again, he could come back there and register for their services. And they do have a policy or program of returning people home. And so they could buy him a plane ticket if so needed. And I would like to say that the story has a happy ending, and that as I was leaving there, we ran into each other, and I got him back on a plane, and hopefully by now he's back in Iowa. But that's not the case. It was just simply, I thank the lady for her time, and I walked out, and I have not heard the mom never returned my call. I will probably never see this person again. And I don't know what will happen, but it just got me thinking about how I have been coming on this podcast for the last 18 months. And I always try to encourage, you know, do something positive. But when I'm presented with that opportunity, I don't always take it. And I think I've mentioned it before on the show. I always want to volunteer, and I look up organizations. I say, oh, I should go help out with this, or this is going on. I want to do that. And then something always comes up to where I make an excuse. I plan something else. I never go through with it. So I'm a bit of a hypocrite in that regard. And that's not to say that I don't ever do anything. If you listen to the Question Everything episode from May with Jenna Jameson, we discussed doing little things for people. And I try to do something small on a daily basis, but I don't know, this one really hit me, because had this kid not stopped me and asked to use my phone, if we'd crossed paths on the street, I wouldn't even have given him a second look. It would have just, I don't want to say it's because I am so desensitized to homeless people. I wouldn't have thought about him. And had he not made the phone calls that he made, and if his mom hadn't called me back, I probably would have just went about my day today as normal. And so I don't tell this story as like a humble brag or any type of brag or anything to be like, look at me, you know, I tried to help this person, and I, even though it didn't work out, I still tried to do something good. I am very disappointed in myself, because it took too long to recognize something I may have been able to do sooner. I could have easily asked this kid how to get a hold of him today. I could have talked to him. That's the main thing. I could have talked to him. I have no idea what. I don't know why he left Iowa. I don't know how long ago it was. I don't know anything about it, because I was too wrapped up in myself. And I'm not naive enough to think that I can help everybody. You just can't. But when you get the opportunity to do something, then do something. And as I stated at the beginning of this episode, I don't think I have anything profound to say. There's no magic lesson or anything that's going to come out of this episode that is going to be new and fresh and original. All I can do is encourage. I say this looking at the world in which we live and seeing nothing. Let me rephrase. Seeing a lot of hate being thrown around on social media, in the media, in conversations amongst people. And I don't understand why. I mean, I understand. I just think we're better than that. And I think at our core value, we as people need to stop seeing differences. We need to stop seeing we just need to start seeing people as people. And there's a quote that I've seen several times over the last couple months, and it's very true. It's you don't know what someone else is going through, so don't judge them based on your experience or what you're. Don't project your feeling onto them, because you don't know what's going on in their life. And so I just, once again, will encourage you to stop and think about other people from time to time. If you are presented an opportunity to help someone, please do it. And I will continue to end every episode with these simple words that I feel carry a lot of weight. And that is simply question everything. And by all means, do something positive.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.